Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Difficult Conversations, where we tackle taboo topics in a safe space through empowerment and education. The information on this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered professional mental health advice.
Well, welcome back, ladies. Today, we're going to talk about self-sabotaging. It's been the conversation that we are having by ourselves, but we just decided that we wanted to kind of get our audience to be part of this conversation also and talk about a little bit why we do it, where does it stem from, and how often do we actually self-sabotage, and what is our understanding around self-sabotaging in general feels like. So I might just kind of just throw out a question for you two ladies. Mm-hmm. By the way, you guys are looking really nice with that hijab. Green looks really nice.
It was not planned.
Outing. The habit is the Beyonce of the group. She has a blue one.
And so, yeah. So I don't know. Have you guys ever self-sabotaged, and what is your understanding of self-sabotaging? And like, when did you notice like you are doing it?
I think I do it all the time. Like, I'll set a goal. And then I remember listening to something once where the guy was saying how we kind of in life, like we kind of go through peaks and valleys and stuff. And so there's almost everybody has like a threshold mm-hmm. where you hit. So once, say you're trying to change a behavior or something, then you go up this hill of change or whatever, and then it gets really uncomfortable because it's, you know, outside of your comfort zone and whatnot, and then you start to do behaviors because you almost, you're subconsciously, you want to come back to where you were,
your tolerance level.
Yeah. So I feel like, and I've noticed this a lot in like even with like with exercise, reading a book. Like one of the goals that I had in the beginning of the year was like reading 30 minutes a day or something, mm-hmm. right? So it was good. Like for a whole week, I read, you know, mm-hmm. 30 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And then like by the seventh day or something, and I'm just like, and then something came up where like I had to do something for my kids or something. And then I was like, oh, okay, then I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow became 7 days that I didn't read it, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm back to my original of not reading at all. So I feel like I do that a lot with almost any goal that I've set. So,
what about you, Bonnie?
Definitely. And for me, I do two kinds of self-sabotage. One is when it comes to, like I'm sure I said, the goal setting and then not meeting your goal, kind of, or maybe setting too much of a goal, like too high of a bar for yourself that you can't reach, or crowding so much into one time period that it's literally, it becomes impossible for you to do so, to be able to accomplish everything at the same time. And the second part is kind of a little bit more internal, right? Like being able like kind of not going for the job that you deserve, or like not asking for the raise you deserve, or mm-hmm. not speaking up for yourself when someone's crossing your boundary, or you know, when someone is being disrespectful and not just letting them do that. Mm-hmm. All of those things is another aspect of like self-sabotage for me. Mm-hmm. But the first aspect, I feel like I was listening to a podcast where this guy said self-sabotage kind of comes from the idea that your body stops trusting you, right? Yeah. So, for example, if you have a friend and you tell your friend, I'm going to be at such and such place, let's meet up for coffee at 8 o'clock or 8 p.m., right? And they don't show up. One day you're like, okay, it's a faux pas. And then every day for 7 days, they don't show up, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. At 8 o'clock. And then you're not going to show up the eighth day. Or for some people, it's just the third day. They're just not going to come, right? Yeah. So your body stops showing up for you because you stop showing up for them, for it. You stop mm-hmm. showing up for it. So your body stops showing up for you. So what happens is that, for example, for me with gym, I say I'm going to go to the gym. Every New Year's, my resolution is like, you know, the gym membership starts and I'm going to go to the gym and then I go for the week. And then after that, I drop off, right? And then when I drop off, my body's like, oh, okay, cool. And then why am I getting up in the morning to go? I'm not going to. And then starts making up excuses to why I shouldn't go to the gym, right? Mm-hmm. And then since I'm not showing up and since I have a habit of not being able to stay consistent, I start giving myself excuses to not go there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I start like, oh, you know, tomorrow or, mm-hmm. oh, you know, you have other things to do. Oh, you should just do this mm-hmm. instead of that.
Yes.
And then it's basically, it becomes a hindrance on its own.
Yeah. I think the gym thing for me, it's like, I will work out and then say like I work out consistently, like 3 days a week or whatever. But every day after I work out, I'll probably eat like something with super high calorie, right? Almost canceling out all the calories that I lost. So that's my biggest issue with the gym.
Yeah. So generally self-sabotaging comes from like self-defense, right? Mm-hmm. Is your coping and your coping mechanism start from self-sabotaging. And the way that works is that you wanted to make sure that there's a sense of safety within your body. So you intend to kind of limit the new resistance that may come up. So the consistent schedules that you're talking about when it comes to gym is like having expectations and perfectionism. And then again, with that, procrastinations. And all of that stems from fear, because what if I don't do well? What if I fail?
Or what if I do well?
Exactly. Exactly. So instead, what am I going to do? I'm going to create a barriers that would be able to make me stay where I'm at right now because the resistance feels uncomfortable.
Yeah. Or even the idea of that, it's better, because I actually used to say this for a very long time. I used to say, okay, you know, when I write a book, that book is going to be successful. It's going to be epic. It's going to be like the New York Times bestseller. So I would write a manuscript. And then when I get to like page 100, I have like, I think by the time I graduated college, I had like about 50 manuscripts that were at least 100 pages or less.
Wow.
And I would be like, the fear of me not finishing, the fear of my book not being what I want it to be, like not making that goal. Yeah. What if it, like, what if I finish this book and it doesn't do well? And you find it in the dollar store, in the clearance section, right? Like, so I'm literally...
Why so elaborate?
The dollar store and the clearance section. Literally, have you guys seen books in the dollar store?
Yeah,
like their book. So I was
you
like, "What
stop
if
it's going to books at the dollar store?"
I don't go to the dollar store for books. I'm just saying there are books there that others slaved on. Yeah. So I
that's quite a story, Bonnie.
I literally just don't finish them, and then but I don't. My reasoning when I stop writing is not that. Oh, it's going to end up at the dollar store. That's the bigger fear. What I will tell myself is that, oh, you know, you'll just write tomorrow. Oh, maybe the story needs a little bit of, maybe it's a little overdone. Maybe this has been there before. Blah, blah, blah. So I come up with all these excuses so that my big fear never happens.
Yes.
Right? Of like my book not succeeding. Yeah. Or for example, for the gym situation with me, it's my big fear is that I'm never gonna lose the weight or I'm never gonna get the body that I want. So I'd rather make up excuses to not going to the gym so I can tell myself that, oh, if I did go to the gym and eat healthy, I will be, you know, I'll get my body back.
Right.
Right. So I don't go to the gym and I don't eat healthy and I'll just still live in that fantasy of like, if I did want to, I could, but I won't.
I think one of the things that we're doing here and having this conversation that will help is building the awareness, you know, of like actually recognizing that this is what you do. Because I feel like a lot of times, not just these situations and or instances that we've pointed out, but there's probably hundreds of other situations where we are self-sabotaging that we don't even know about. Mm-hmm. And definitely. I think that's more dangerous than anything else.
For example, going to work late all the time.
Yeah.
People that show up to late all the time, most of the time, that's a form of self-sabotage because they know
If they get up early.
Even if they get up, or people that fail classes. Mm-hmm. It's not because of a lack of potential or the lack of intelligence. Sometimes it's because they don't feel like
worthy.
They are worthy of that grade. They don't feel like they're worthy of that job that they have, or the potential of getting like the raise or the promotion or whatever the case is. Right. So they sabotage, or they want it so bad, right, that they don't want to fail at getting that thing.
Yeah.
Or another something different other than the fear of not getting it is that somebody has told you at some point that you value that you can't. You're not going to do it. You're not going to be able to make it. So that voice is unconsciously ringing in your head, telling you you're not going to do it. You're not going to be that person. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be smart. You're not smart. So you don't want to prove that person right. But you end up doing so because you are like, oh, I don't want to. I don't want that person to think that I'm not going to be successful. Right. So I'm just not going to try. So if I don't try, I don't fail.
It's a safety mechanism, right? It's how do I feel safe in my body instead of not putting my body under stress, right? And if I put my body under stress, that means that I'm also recognizing that I have a higher limit to do more things. And in that aspect of your window of tolerance in, you know, self-sabotaging is to stay not to make you feel resisting to that. And usually we do it out of fear, out of fear of even the idea of procrastination when it comes to work, right? Or procrastinations or perfectionism. This has to be perfect, right? That level of pressure, perfectionism is going to be like a very high mountain of idea in your head. Like, oh, if I, in order for me to do X, Y, and Z, I have to have the right camera, or I have to have the right lens. I have to have the right equipment. I have to have the right lighting, the right location, the right, all of this reason is your self-sabotaging in order for it to not happen. Because then even if you have all those equipment available, you'll find another reason not to do it.
How many of you guys have waited for your Amazon delivery to go to the gym? Like, be like, oh, I need a brand new shoes or a brand new gym clothes, or, you know, like, or to go shop. Oh, I have to, oh man, I need to like eat healthy. I have to go grocery shopping. Then I'll start eating healthy. Oh, I have to study. I need a brand new pencil.
I think with the eating healthy part, I'm always like, but eating healthy is so plain, and eating healthy doesn't taste good. You know? So every time like I eat a salad or whatever, I'm not full. So I'm like, no, this is not food.
Chita, you can put some chicken in it if you want.
And I know that we're talking a lot about nutrition and like gym and workout and body, and kind of a little bit touching on body image. I just want to make sure that if this is a triggering conversation for you, and if you have an issue with body image and, you know, eating and nutritional conversations, please, you know, take a minute.
And this take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself. But self-sabotage shows up in a lot of different ways. For example, in a more serious manner, when it comes to relationships, right? When you're trying to either be in a relationship, or when you're already in a relationship and you don't feel worthy of, I think, like you said, Dahabe, it comes, the source of it all is worthiness. And you are consistently trying, unconsciously trying to prove yourself that you're not worthy of the thing that you have or the thing that you want. So in relationships, it shows up by either gaslighting your partner, or it shows up by, you know, taking an argument that could have been just simple, and that could have just been, you know, a simple conversation, into some expanding it and exploding it into something bigger that it didn't need to be, because you're trying to get your partner to say you're not worthy. You're trying to get your partner to leave because you already think that they're going to leave anyway. So at least you want to have some control over the way they leave, or, you know, so kind of recognizing.
Or picking, here's a big one, and sorry for interrupting you there. When you talk about relationship, it's like picking somebody who you don't feel attracted to, and then you're like, inshallah, they'll grow on me, so let me just be continuous to put myself to this. And then when you feel like they say something about yourself that you already feel about yourself, like, see, that's why this didn't work out. But you didn't take the step back to reevaluate your needs and your want, and like look for somebody who meets your needs in that level. But you aim low, so you know you can point a finger saying, well, I did it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like being nice, you know, when you're not being asked for, but you're like doing it as a transactional thing, right? That. Mm-hmm. And then you do it. And then another aspect when it comes to relationship is like talking to people, but then like when they give you full attention, you
pulling
retrieve.
Back. You, yeah.
You retrieve.
Pull back.
Like, you're like, ooh, now you're giving me too much attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when they don't, you're like, why are you not giving me enough attention?
Yep. And you know how you were talking about like picking a person that is like not the person that you want, but the opposite is also true.
Yeah.
Picking a person that is way out of your league.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Like
that's true.
Way, way out of your league that you, that person, like whatever. So you're like, oh, I want that. Mm-hmm. And I don't get that. You know, and I'm not happy and I'm single because I don't get that. So you're consistently proving yourself, and like you go after guys that are not interested in you. You fall in love with people that
are emotionally unavailable.
Emotionally unavailable totally because they're married or they have their own thing going on or they just don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
How many girls do you know?
I actually never thought about that as a self-sabotaging behavior, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. How many girls do you know that are... that fall completely head over heels in love with people that have never been nice to them or that don't, that have not, they've never even talked to. You know that Amharic song, there's the song that is like.
I think it goes for guys too, how like the lady that is mean to you or whatever, or like is pushing back on you.
Because they feel they're worthy of that.
Then you run after them.
Yeah.
Versus the nice, mesquine one.
Yeah.
What is the Amhara one? I'm curious now.
No, there's this Amhara song. It's called, it's this girl. She like literally has this friend in college, this guy in college that she's in love with. And it's like, she sends her best friend to like go talk to him. It's a two part song. It was like in the 90s.
And then they fall in love?
And no, he ends up having a girlfriend.
Oh.
But like, he literally never talks to her. He's standing in an elevator and he doesn't even hold the elevator door open for her. And she's like running to him. Oh man, that's going to come to me when I'm driving home.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say that storyline sounds familiar.
Literally unsolicited love in romantic movies where the guy goes after this girl that has never been interested in him, or the girl goes after the guy that's never interested in her, or the best friend falls in love with the best friend that's like into someone else and he's pining over her or she's pining over him, and then they come and they fall in love and the person finally recognizes, oh, it's been you this whole time. And... you know, but it's not.
It's our way of protecting ourselves, honestly. Yeah. It's our way that we don't have to feel the pain and the hurt. And going back to our previous episode that we did about people pleasing and self-sabotaging is kind of interlinked.
It's similar.
Because they are like brothers and sisters in the same aspect of it. Because the stem of people pleasing come from self-sabotaging.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're already people pleasing. And so it's like, what are you going to do to kind of make sure that you don't feel you're worthy of anything?
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel worthy of the job, the relationship, the partnership, the lifestyle, unless you recognize your self-esteems are not fully in a, it's on a shaky ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to reevaluate your self-esteem.
You have to
evaluate your self-worthiness. Like, I'm worthy for this. I'm worthy for that. And the fear that stems in this process, where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
Who told me that I wasn't worthy? And then what situation, which sometimes it's not even... It's sometimes not even your parents, not even your family. It's like a school. It's like a
friend. I found
friend.
This song. Sorry.
What the heck? Are you okay?
Sorry, it was so hard to pay attention to anything that was being said. I'm sorry. Keep going.
I can't be serious now.
Wait, okay, what is the name of the song?
I don't know what the name is. Esquiva la Valle.
I have no idea.
Do you speak Amharic? I don't speak Amharic.
Okay. What does it mean?
She's begging her friend. She's like, "Eskima labeng erjinga brad again." She's saying, "Help me, my friend. Like, go talk to this guy for me and tell him how I feel because I'm in love with him." And she's like, anyway, sorry, I found the song.
I have no idea what I'm saying now. So,
I'm sorry,
it's okay. I think that should be definitely in there. But
are you okay? And now you're good now.
You're good? Yes,
we found the song.
Yes, we found the song.
Okay, sounds
now.
Good.
You'd have to repeat all of
what
you said.
Yes, please do all yours.
I don't remember what I said. Do you, audience?
Okay.
So I'm basically was saying self-sabotaging stem from fear and self-worthiness, mm-hmm. and then as well as self-esteem. If you don't feel you are certain way, certain aspect of it, the way you think of yourself in your head, mm-hmm. if that's not what you feel like you are, you intend to project that in the world. You intend to project that in the social interactions and whatever that may be is. So yeah, pretty much that's what I was thinking of.
I think it also goes back to what I said earlier about like raising awareness, right? Having the self-awareness to be like, okay, in what situations do I self-sabotage, you know? Yeah. And if you, you know, are trying to achieve a goal or trying to do something and you just can't go over it or you just can't like get past something, and whenever you hit a wall you always come back and you seem like you're starting from the square one all over again, then it's on you to be like, okay, what internal work do I have to do? What things do I have to do so that I'm not in this situation again? Yeah. So first, you know, doing the self-awareness, writing it down, and then taking action. Because I think in situations where me personally, I'm like, okay, I'm not, you know, there's fear. There's so much stories that I've built up in my head. Once I just get over that and do the first thing, it gets a lot easier, you know, to accomplish a lot of the things. And taking action can be as easy as making a list. You know, I don't know if you guys like to do to-do lists or whatever.
I don't think in this season I've said it. Therapy. And if you mess up, that's okay. Yeah. If you messed up again, that's okay. If you mess up the third, fourth, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time, I think the point is for you to move through those resistance.
Yeah.
Once you are at the
and it gets
path,
easier every time.
Yes. Yeah. And that's okay. Like nothing is ever going to be a mistake or a failure if you just keep trying.
Mm-hmm. And like, I guarantee you 99% of the time, nobody's noticing.
That's so true.
You know what I mean? Like I think we go through life as if all cameras are on us, right? As mm-hmm. if like every little thing that you do, people are going to be like, oh my God.
Main character syndrome.
Honestly. But, you know, keep reminding yourself that nobody's paying attention. And whether you think that's kind of depressing, you know, or it's a relief. For me personally, it's a relief.
So. I don't know. I am paying attention, but I'm here for you, though.
Not to every person.
Right. I mean, whoever listened to this conversation, I'm here for you and you're doing great.
Yeah. And I think one thing I will say is that pay attention to the bigger picture. I think therapy helps with that in the bigger question. I think the things that feel like they're not connected, they're the dots that feel like they are sporadic and they're not connected. Oh, I'm failing at this. Oh, I'm failing in school. I'm not able to go to the gym. I'm not able to eat healthy. I'm not able to, you know, show up to work on time. I'm not able to have friends because I sometimes, for some reason, always disappoint my friends or fall short, mm-hmm. whatever the case is. All of those dots are connected to one big thing. Mm-hmm. What is that one big thing for you? Is it someone else that at some point has told you that you don't deserve these things? Are you telling yourself these things? What are you really afraid of? Mm-hmm. Sit down and have this big question. Like, what is my big fear? Like, what is the big story here that I'm telling myself, the big picture? Yeah. And why am I using these colors to, you know, to fill it in? Mm-hmm. And if you figure out
nobody
this
can
big
answer
picture,
that for you,
yeah, if you figure out this big picture, then you're able to say whenever this little seemingly unconnected dots pop up in your life, when mm-hmm. you stop showing up for yourself, you tell yourself, oh, this big picture is stopping me. Mm-hmm. This big conversation that I'm having internally with myself is the one that's stopping me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not showing up to the gym. It's not because I'm tired. It's not because I have shit to do. It's because of this big picture of my fear of progress mm-hmm. or my fear of failure or my aunt that told me or my sister that told me or my mom that told me or my dad that told me that mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, whatever the case is, that's why I'm not showing up. So let me go back, mm-hmm. take a step back, reevaluate. And then, mm-hmm. okay, now let me make it in a time that's actually comfortable for me.
Yeah. And
possible for me to do what I need to do.
Yeah. Right? And I think it takes like a lot of inner work, right? It's not something that you can change overnight. It's not something that like, okay, now you're aware of it. You've wrote it down. And then what? And like Dahabe said, it's going to take you going through it constantly, failing, getting back up, failing and getting it back up. Yeah. And I think you just have to do the work, honestly.
Yep. And I think so
every day, every minute, every hour.
Yeah.
So yeah, to wrap up, it is to wrap up this conversation, I would say, you know, like Bonnie said, therapy is definitely a way to go because you're kind of deconstructing a lot of your life experiences that brought you to that point. And it's okay to fail. Please fail as hard as you can, as long as you have support system that will help you pick you up. And if not, just know that we here are supporting you in your journey and the things that you are working towards, and you are deserving. Just know that, like, regardless what happened to you in the past, you are definitely deserving, because if you have, there's desire, you're deserving for whatever accomplishment that you're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm. Because Allah put that in your heart for a reason.
Exactly. So to kind of say that, if any of our conversation continues to be helpful for you, I think it's just it's our way to kind of start a conversation, is for you to figure it out, how can I be using this information to catalyst. Be helping myself and to better my life and to better myself so that I am flourishing in areas that I'm kind of preventing myself from to do so. So, thank you.
This has been
Difficult Conversations. Yay! Join the conversation in the comment section or on our social media pages. We do not have all the answers, and our biggest goal is to kick off the conversation and get it started. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and use us for catalysts of change.